Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. 11:48, talking some movies this morning. And the visit that we had with Spike Lee when he was in Chicago this week. He was here to promote the DVD and Blu-ray release of his film, Chirac. You know, a lot of you I know have not gone to see it, have no plans to see it as well. But if you didn't, because it was only available on Amazon or in theaters, know that it's going to be on, DVD. And if you just are curious to see what all the talk is about, you'll be able to do that when the film comes out this week. Spike Lee, of course, has been at the center of this controversy with Oscar diversity. So when he was here and visited with us, we talked about that. We also talked about his movie Chirac. You'll hear me tell him what some of the group of young people that we had in our studio said about Chirac and his very surprising reaction to it all. We also talked about some of his films. As I say, I was much more a fan of Spike Lee back in the day. Not so much anymore. I think that he's gotten, his perception of himself is bigger than the actual product that he puts out. But I think back to Do the Right Thing, which was a groundbreaking film. I think back to She's Gotta Have It, which also was, groundbreaking. And great films that he's made, like Malcolm X, through the years. Not so much, I gave a bad review to Chirac, but it certainly did give, people a reason for plenty of conversation, especially here in Chicago. I asked Spike what he thought of conversations about this body of work that he's put out.
I just think about the body of work that I've built since 1986. In fact, this August 9th, 2016, will be the 30th anniversary of She's Gonna Have It, the first one. Time is flying.
And do you think of specific moments during the filming, when you were working on these films, creating these moments, or is it just gone down the conveyor belt?
It's a mismatch. I might think about, man, it took forever for that get to that shot, or something happened, or really, the 30 years has just been blended together as far as memories go.
So we talked about in the open that you were recently awarded an honorary Oscar, yet your films didn't receive awards themselves, kind of the subject matter.
Well, we did, but I got a nomination for the screenplay to Do the Right Thing. Got a nomination for the best documentary, feature-length documentary for little girls. Ruth Carter got a nomination for costume for Malcolm. For Malcolm X. Denzel got a nomination for Malcolm X. Daniello got a nomination for Do the Right Thing. Lost out to Denzel for Glory. And that's it.
Well, my point in asking that question was because the issue has come up about diversity in Hollywood. How do you feel about not winning lots of nominations for your films and for you, but not winning? Does it matter to you?
Well, the work, I feel great work is going to outlast films that might have won an award. But the thing with this year's Oscar, for the second year in a row, not one person of color. So people, you're home scoring, that's 40 to zip. We even get on the scoreboard. And that's unacceptable. And my wife, Tanya, looked at each other and said, even though when you win an honorary Oscar, they include you in the thing in February, but we said, we're not going. Can't do it. So I'll be in the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden, see the Knicks play the Miami Heat instead. In fact, I sold my tickets. I had to get my tickets back.
I heard that. I had heard
get them
about
back.
That.
Be courtside in my seats.
Is your not going to the Oscars about the... I heard you say that this is more about Hollywood in general. It's about the gatekeepers.
The people who have the green light votes.
Explain how that is to me. Because if there are, say, five or six films that got over, and performers who got overlooked this year, if there are more opportunities, more films, more performances, how does 25 change anything? How does 35, 55 change anything? If the small group of them that are there now aren't even getting nominated.
Well, here's the thing. I applaud President Sherry Boone Isaacs for African-American woman, president of the Academy. She's trying to get the voting members more diverse. But the gatekeepers, the people in the executive office, in the studios, we're not there. So that's where the power is, because these are the people who decide what we're making and what we're not making. And so far, I think, you know, they're behind. And that's why I think that somehow studios, if they really believe in diversity, must impose an NFL rule like the Rooney Rule. The Rooney Rule, named after Dan Rooney, president, owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, at the beginning of the 2006 season, if the head coach position opened up senior executive, you get fined. Detroit Lions got fined like $250,000 because they signed somebody. You have to interview a minority candidate. And there was a jump in hiring some black coaches as senior executives because of this Rooney Rule. And I think that needs to be implemented.
You said that's not happening in Hollywood right now.
No, entertainment so behind sports, TV, and film is ridiculous.
Is part of the problem also the demographics of the Academy, the actual people that are voting?
Yeah, that's why I said diversity amongst the voters, which President Sherry Boone Isaacs is trying to address, but you can't do that overnight.
Talk to me a little bit about what John Singleton said. He said there are just so many slots. He's not even worried about this. He goes, there's so many slots, the whole thing is just subjective.
Art is subjective. We understand that. But for 2 years in a row, where there's not one single person of color, 20 plus 20 is 40. I said before, the score is 40 to zip. And if you've seen films, let me ask you a question. Who do you think that's of color? See, let's turn this around on you. Who do you think an actor, actress of color, did not get nominated, should have?
Well, I vote on several of these boards. That's what I've been saying about this is that...
Who'd you vote for?
Among the people that I suggested should be nominated were Idris Elba and Will Smith.
Right. What about the kid from Beast of No Nation? He was amazing, that kid.
He was. I didn't suggest that he was.
Okay.
Art's subjective.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I and almost every other list except the Academy Awards had projects and performers of color to be nominated. I agree with you 100% of the nominations that not one person for the last 2 years. Something's wrong with that system.
I mean,
that's what needs to be fixed to me.
Yes, and that's why George Clooney came out about this the other day. Michael Moore made a statement. Mark Ruffalo is saying he might not show up. So I think this is good because now it's just not angry black people. The other people are stepping forward and being vocal about this, what we feel is an injustice.
Yeah, I don't know how you look at this and not see that there are some problems. Chirac is about to come out on DVD.
Blu-ray and DVD.
Yeah. Now that you've had the luxury of some hindsight on this, I can't think of another film that's open to so much talk, conversation, opinions on
lies.
Both sides. Would you change anything that you've done, that you did in the film, the way that you...
Look, I can't help but people know what satire is. You know? Can't help them.
Had a group of young people from Inglewood here right after the film came out, because I wanted to hear what they had to say about it. And they said that it was too painful for them. It was too serious to be treated in satire. I don't know if they understand what satire is, but for them who have lost people in Inglewood...
Well, here's the thing, though.
Sir,
you know who Pam Bosley is? She's president of Purpose Over Pain. Those is an organization of women who've lost their parents. Did you see the film?
Mm-hmm.
The final scene in the film were all people holding up signs, with the exception of Angela Bassett and Jennifer Hudson. Those signs were... Their children got murdered on the streets of Chicago. So for me, the most stupidest criticism of the film was that Spike Lee doesn't care. First of all, why would Jennifer Hudson be in this film knowing that her mother, brother, and nephew got shot down? Why would Pam Bosley and 50 women who were in the final scene of the film holding up pictures of their children, boys and girls, sons and daughters, that were slain in the street, why would they be a part of a film that makes a mockery of their children's death?
I appreciate that that's how they feel about it, but can you appreciate that it was too sensitive for some people?
So was Schindler's List too sensitive? People felt that way about Schindler's List. Look, it's film.
It's film, he says, and so what, he says. And that just seems so insensitive to me, that, you know, people in the group of young people that we had in Chicago, several had lost friends, relatives to gun violence, and said that they don't think that that's a subject that's for comedy. And the only thing Spike Lee can say is, so what? I'm just completely blown away by that. And the big difference between this and Schindler's List, Spike Lee, Schindler's List wasn't a comedy. Wasn't a satire. Wasn't done. The horrific events of that movie were not done as a satire as you depicted the horrific events of your movie in. Big difference. And somebody says it's too painful to say, so what? It's just so insensitive, if you ask me.